join with me in a spirit of prayer. Oh Lord, it feels strange to say that we find glory in your cross. It was the cross that brought an end to your earthly life, an end that was filled with suffering and pain. And yet we know the cross was not the end of the story. We know the cross is ultimately not a symbol of death, but a promise of life. And Lord, we know that because you did not forsake the cross, there is nothing in our lives that would cause you to forsake us. In your last days, you were willing to meet betrayal with forgiveness and violence with love. So we pray that you will meet us here tonight and offer us the same. When the woes of this world threaten to overtake us, when our hopes are torn down and our fears rise up, meet us with your forgiveness and your love. Whether our lives are filled with pain or blessing, with pain or pleasure, meet us with your peace, a peace that knows no measure. Offer us your joy, a joy that abides through every moment of time. Oh God, we pray that you will meet us here tonight in this moment of time. The cross looms on the horizon, but first we gather to remember Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. So be present with us tonight as we eat and drink and remember. O God, open our minds that we might experience the disciples' confusion and their empty promises of fearless loyalty. Open our eyes, that we might see the ways we too have a place among those who betrayed Jesus. Open our ears, that we might hear once again of Jesus' humble service and his extravagant love. Open our hands, that we might use them to work for justice, tearing down the barriers that divide us from each other and creating a world where love knows no bounds. And open our hearts, O God, so that we can admit where we have fallen short of your call and your claim on our lives. Remind us that your extravagant love surrounds us this night, forgiving our sins and setting us free. No matter what we have done or left undone, no matter what we have said or left unsaid, there is nothing that will keep your love from finding us and forgiving us. There is no sin too big, no shame too deep, no barrier too high, no relationship too broken for your love to heal us and set us free. It is because of your incredible love that we gather here this night, O God. It is because of your incredible love that we can find glory in the cross and comfort in Christ. Amen. On the night before the crucifixion, the disciples had gathered with Jesus for supper. Gospels are clear about that. There is a slight difference, though, between the story of that last meal as told by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and that which is told by the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke remember that the disciples gathered with Jesus to celebrate Passover. And it was during the Passover meal that Jesus broke bread and offered them the cup. He offered them as symbols of his unending love for them and for the whole world. In the Gospel of John, though, you'll notice that Jesus gathers with the disciples before the festival of the Passover. That's because in John, Passover begins the moment when Jesus is handed over to be crucified. So for John, the focus of the Last Supper isn't the meal itself. It's not the bread broken and the cup shared. His focus is on the act of foot washing. And for John, this act is deeply symbolic. It's a way for Jesus to show his extravagant love for his disciples. It's a way for him to model what love looks like. And then he asks the disciples to join him in making that kind of love real in the world. Our passage tonight starts and ends with love, which seems fitting for our Lenten theme of 40 days toward love. So let's listen now for the word of God in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and then verses 34 and 35. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. They first made the news back in 2016. It was around Thanksgiving that the world first heard about a text message exchange between a woman named Wanda Dench and the young man she thought was her grandson. Wanda had intended to text her grandson to let him know what time he should come by for Thanksgiving dinner. But the person on the receiving end of her text message didn't seem to know who she was. After going back and forth a couple of times, they decided to exchange selfies. And it became clear that Wanda was not texting her grandson. She sent him a picture of herself, a woman in her early 60s with light brown hair, dark eyes, glasses, white skin. The picture that came back was of a 17-year-old young man with a hat on over his short dreads, dark eyes, and brown skin. He jokingly replied to her, "You are not my grandma." And then he said, "Can I still get a plate though?" And Wanda replied, "Of course you can. That's what grandmas do. We feed everyone." And that's how Wanda came to meet Jamal Hinton. And you know what? Jamal actually took Wanda up on her offer. He and his family didn't have any other plans, so they went to Wanda's house for Thanksgiving in 2016. Wanda and Jamal have celebrated Thanksgiving together every year since then. They've become good friends over the years. These two people who, on the surface, seem to have nothing in common. They're different ages and races, they have different jobs, they're not even part of the same family. But over the years, Wanda and her husband Lonnie would meet up with Jamal and his girlfriend Michaela to go on double dates. They would talk about anything and everything, from their lives and their jobs to their favorite musicians and their favorite movies. There was one time they spent 4 hours together at a barbecue restaurant, talking and laughing and catching up. When it came time for Wanda and Jamal to make their plans for Thanksgiving this past year, they knew things would be different. The country was in the midst of a pandemic, after all. A pandemic that had taken the life of Wanda's beloved husband, Lonnie. Lonnie died almost exactly a year ago, on April 5th, 2020. The day after his death, it was Jamal and Michaela who showed up at Wanda's house with takeout from their favorite barbecue restaurant. And the day after Thanksgiving, it was Jamal who sat at Wanda's table with her. They kept a candle burning in Lonnie's memory, and they put his picture in front of the seat where he always sat, and they gave thanks for their friendship and for the text message that took two people who had nothing in common and turned them into family. A pastor I know once said that in church, We may have nothing in common with one another, except the one thing that matters, a willingness to love Jesus and to do that together. Through the church, we are thrown together into community with people who might be very different from us, people whose age or race might be different from ours, people whose sexual orientation or gender identity might be different. Church takes people with different jobs, different hobbies, different talents, different backgrounds, and sometimes very different political views. Church takes us and throws us into community and turns us into family. And that can be good and beautiful in so many ways. When I think of the people who wouldn't know each other aside from church, the friendships that have been nurtured in this community, the ministry that we get to share together, the difference that we make in the world, there is so much that is good and beautiful about being church together. But being church with people who are very different from us can also be really hard work. We want church to be a place where we get to live out lovely stories of friendship like Wanda and Jamal's, but sometimes what we get instead are hurt feelings and broken hearts. Because people who are different from us can sometimes disappoint us. It can be hard when there are so many things in this world that try to divide us and tell us we are different from one another. Sometimes it feels like it might be easier if the church were made up of more people who were just like us. And that is why we need Maundy Thursday. That's why we need this night that reminds us of how Jesus made room in his inner circle for a man like Judas, a man who would betray him. He made room in his inner circle for a man like Simon Peter, a man who spent 3 years with Jesus and still didn't understand fully who he was or what he was trying to do. He made room in his inner circle for the one who would deny him and all the ones who would desert him. He made room at his table for people who would hurt him and disappoint him and break his heart. Jesus made room for all of them. And then he gave them a new commandment. He called them to love one another. Not to tolerate one another, not just to coexist with one another, not to roll their eyes behind each other's backs when they couldn't stand what one of them posted on Facebook. Jesus called them to love one another. Jesus calls us to love one another, to love people we don't get to choose. To love people we find it hard to like sometimes. Jesus takes us and throws us together into community and turns us into family, and that is good and beautiful and hard and holy work. It's work we get to do together. It's work that shows the world what it means to be church. It's work that makes God's love real. It's work that allows us to do what Jesus commands us to do. To love one another just as he has loved.